Hi again, theme park enthusiasts. It's Chad and Christy, your host for Theme Parks and Recs, our podcast that explores all of the new happenings, confirmations, and rumors of our wonderful theme parks here in the state of Florida, which we have visited hundreds, if not thousands of times. We lost count well over a decade ago. This is episode 42, and today we're going to be talking about what's happening over at Universal Orlando, because we did go and do a live broadcast from the studios last week. So we did get to see Fast and the Furious Supercharged, which if you haven't ridden it yet, we're going to tell you all about that. Plus, one other big happening that's still a little fuzzy. Some details have been leaked, some have not. So we're going to tell you about that over at Universal. And then across town, one of the big events happened at Disney last weekend with the big MegaCon convention that was in town. They usually coincide. They do a nighttime special event all geared towards Star Wars.
Right.
They did have Warwick Davis, who has been in virtually every single one of the Star Wars movies, on hand to reveal some more details about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which is going to be coming, as we know now, to Hollywood Studios late 2019, not summer,
right,
2019.
It got pushed back a bit, but the Disneyland version is going to be still set to open in the summer, next summer.
And what's interesting is if you are a huge Star Wars fan, and to make a reveal, because I don't think we have talked about this on any of our podcasts, Christy and I are members of the 501st Legion, which is the official costuming group for the Star Wars movies. So we have tons of friends that, like us, geek out over anything that is Star Wars. And one of the big debates that we had is, which one of the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge will open first, Disneyland or Disney World? And we all thought, at least, that once they make that decision, that is where the next Star Wars celebration would be, which is the big annual convention, all things Star Wars.
Right.
Boy, they threw us for a loop when they announced that it's going to be in Chicago in 2019.
Yep.
So it's not going to be in Anaheim or Orlando, but at least when we were out at Disneyland last December and rode the train out there, which takes you really close to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and then going over and kind of peeking through the walls like a lot of other Star Wars fans at Hollywood Studios, California is definitely further along than Florida mm-hmm. is. So it's no surprise then that that's going to be summer of 2019 here in Florida, fall to winter of 2019.
And if you are a fan of Star Wars and had planned to go take part in Celebration in Chicago, word to the wise, I know that a lot of our friends were trying to get hotels and some of them were already booked up. So this is one of those things that sooner is definitely better than later to make your travel plans, because you don't want to wait till the last minute, because you probably won't be able to get in.
At least, you know, here is one of the things, because we did have this debate, and the same goes really for any time there's a huge convention over in Orlando, that you clamor to be close by, either, you know, at the Rosen Center or across the street at the Hyatt or the Hilton, or be, you know, close enough to walk. But if you are going to drive, what a lot of people have said is you're going to pay to park. And the same goes in Chicago with any of those hotels that are close to where they're going to be having Star Wars Celebration, is you're going to pay $25, $30 a night to park on top of a much higher rate. So a lot of my friends, at least, are like, listen, I'm going to stay at a hotel a couple of miles down the road where it's a little bit cheaper, and then I'm going to Uber in. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about having Uber and Lyft and everything now, is that you don't necessarily have to be right next door.
And even some hotels offer a shuttle service. But I know one of the things that you do battle, even if you do an Uber or a hotel shuttle service when you're in Orlando, iDrive gets really backed up and it can just be a nightmare. So that's why a lot of people say, well, I would rather try to stay closer in.
Right. All right. So let's jump just a few miles down the road from the convention center in Orlando and talk about Universal and what is happening there. There's three things. Obviously, the newest that is open is Fast and Furious Supercharged, which we got to ride last Friday. I was curious whether it was going to be like the version that you get to see if you go to Universal Studios Hollywood, because if you haven't ever been there and done the backlot tour, that's legit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you ride a tram through all of the different sets and locations that they use in television shows and movies. It's incredible.
And it is a working set, and you'll see these little separate cabins, like portables, And that's where they're actually doing production and prepping for movies and auditions. Our son, when he was out acting in California, we went to many auditions right there where the backlot tour drives by.
And I think they even point out, don't they, like, that's the one that used to belong to Alfred Hitchcock, and that's right. The office that currently belongs to Steven Spielberg. And mm-hmm. So you never really know who you're going to see. But then at the very end of that tour, they take you into a warehouse. Now, a couple of years ago when we were there, they took you inside and we saw Kong before they built the attraction in Florida. So this past December, when you go into that warehouse, we were wondering, is it still going to be Kong? Is it going to be something else? And then lo and behold, boom, there was Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
It is virtually identical.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Fast and Furious Supercharged at Orlando is, to me, it's sort of three different experiences. First, they have the virtual queue line, much like they do with the Jimmy Fallon attraction. So if you've been over and you've done that, you know, once you get in the park, if you've downloaded the Universal app, you click on the virtual line and it tells you what time you can come back.
Right. Reserves your space for
right.
you.
But you also, they do have an express line. And a lot of times when they open up the newer attractions over there, especially like both of the Harry Potter attractions, it took them a while before they had an express line. Mm-hmm. This one has one out of the gate. So if you stay at certain resorts, or if once you go in, you buy the express ticket, you're going to get to the front of the line. We had express, and I think it maybe was less than 10 minutes to walk all the way through there until you were on the ride, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, something like that.
So really, to me, there's sort of three parts to this. And if you are a Fast and the Furious fan, I think you'll like it, even though I have heard a lot of people debating this online, you know, whether it's a good attraction, a bad attraction. If you just look at the end, where you're riding and you're part of this whole car chase and you feel like you're a part of the movies, if that's the only thing there was, I can understand why a lot of people might say, I don't know if that's worth it or not, standing in an hour-long mm-hmm. line, 90-minute line, whatever.
But the queue is really part of the attraction.
Exactly. So phase one of it, if you're a fan, is it's like you're walking into their shop in the warehouse district of San Francisco. All of the vehicles are there. I was curious about the vehicles and whether they were the actual vehicles from the movie. They're not, but the person who did do the vehicles for the movie is the same person who did them for the attraction. Mm-hmm. So that's legit.
Plus, you have video screens with different things going on while you're in the line.
Right. I just wish that I could have gone ahead and got our oil changed while we were there, because I'm like, man, 10 minutes in this line, this would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So then you go from that area where you're weaving around all of the vehicles into a secondary room where they're like, this is sort of our hangout spot. Nobody gets to really see this. And it's ludicrous from the movies that's kind of walking you through this and explaining why Vin Diesel calls everybody family, why you're going to become part of the family. And I thought, you know what? If you're a fan of the movie, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go into phase three of it, which is getting on the party buses, which they look like a party bus. They've mm-hmm. got the flashing lights and the music going and everything. So I thought, oh, this is kind of fun. Somebody could have brought me a drink. Then I'd have felt like I was on the party bus. But then you go into the actual attraction where you are part of the chase scene. Maybe my brain just doesn't work as well as it used to. And I have not asked you yet your opinion on this, Christy. I said, let's wait until we do the podcast to really talk about how you felt when you were writing it. I had a little bit of a tough time kind of keeping up with what was going on.
Because it was going so fast?
Yes, and it's one of those all immersive things now, like Kong, if you've ridden it, where there's something going on to the right of you and there's something going on to the left of you. It was like Vin Diesel on the right and The Rock on the left, and I didn't know which one to look at.
But that's the cool part, because then you have a different experience every time you go, because then you have something else you're going to catch that you might have missed the last time.
But it was a whole lot of, we're speeding up, we're jumping, we're weaving, and there's smoke in my face, and then there's something splashing me, and I still don't know what it was exactly that was splashing me. I don't know if it was the person in front of me that got really, really excited, or if it was, you know, a water scene, because again, it was just moving so fast, which I get why then it's called Fast and Furious Supercharged.
So ding, 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 ding.
I know. I'll be curious to see what you all think about it. If you have ridden it, then you can connect with us, send us a message, maybe through Facebook. Our radio station on Facebook is B98.7 FM, or you can email me, Chad with two D's, C-H-A-D-D at B98.7 FM.com, or Christy, K-R-I-S-T-I at B98.7 FM.com. One of the things that was not Fast and Furious was the line for Voodoo Donut outside of Universal Orlando, which is the next big thing to talk about, because I never would have thought, and I still don't understand how sometimes things can become such a phenomenon, because obviously donuts, mini donuts, the gourmet donuts that have the cereal on the top and the bacon and everything have become all the rage.
Right. And this is a staple up in Portland. That's where they got their start, right?
But and I think there's one in San Francisco. There are a couple, but this is the first one on the East Coast. But this is a phenomenon. The line was probably, when we walked up, I said, how long are you guessing? And she said, probably 20 minutes to a half hour. So that's what you can expect if you are going to wait there. I will say the donuts were exceptional, especially their signature one, which is a little voodoo man. And what's interesting is we were in the broadcast center, which is a really cool little secret thing for you to look at. The next time you go into Universal Studios, right where the Terminator 3D attraction used to be, if you turn around, there's the big brown hat, which is the hat shop. Next to it, there are two real broadcast studios. And I think so many people just walk right on by it and don't think. Occasionally, when you're in doing a live broadcast, somebody will come peek in the window, and we love to wave. But peek in the window the next time you walk by, because one of the studios is decked out like Transformers, and the other is decked out like Despicable Me. So,
and the reason why he almost said Terminator is that the Despicable Me studio used to be a Terminator, and it had the melted Terminator head. And then the other was a Jaws studio for the long time that's now the Transformers studio.
So it's so much fun doing a broadcast there, because that's usually where the Mystery Machine, and where you'll see Shaggy and Scooby, they pull up. And so we get to kind of watch them the whole time we're doing a broadcast. But they brought us by Voodoo Donut, and there was another radio station doing their morning show live the same day we were.
And you know what Chad said? They're on the air, quick, run!
But the actual little voodoo man, which I thought would go first because it's sort of their signature donut, was the last one. And I don't know if it's everybody felt guilty because, well, it looks like a little man. I don't want to eat that. But so I didn't actually take a bite of it. I guess it's filled with some sort of jelly filling.
And I was behaving myself. I had a little bite of the maple bar.
You were so good.
It was really difficult.
We were all cutting them into like eighths so I could have the one with the Cocoa Puffs on the top and the one with the Captain Crunch on the top. So they are good, and it is, again, a phenomenon to carry around the pink box. It's just like everybody is in awe of that. So if you're going to go over to City Walk at Universal Orlando, definitely stop by Voodoo Donut. And the third thing happening at Universal is a new nighttime show that's going to be opening up sometime this summer. We, as we were walking by, saw them down in the little boats working on the lagoon, which is that right there in front of the Harry Potter attractions at Universal Studios. And so I actually kind of grabbed somebody and I said, so what's this going to be all about? What's this new nighttime show? And they said, well, did you ever go to the last one? I think there's a lot of people that may not have even realized there was a nighttime show every single night that included fireworks at Universal Studios. And I said, yeah. They said, well, it's like that, but it's going to take it to an entirely new level. That you're going to have animation characters. You're going to have new music. There's a new storyline. There's going to be new special effects and projection mapping, which I know is like a big thing now, especially if you've gone to Islands of Adventure and you've seen how they projection map on Hogwarts Castle.
Which is really amazing.
Yeah, that there's going to be something like that incorporated into it too. So I don't know if that means projection mapped onto the Harry Potter attractions at Universal Studios or where or how, but I'll be curious to see it when that opens up sometime, what I'm hearing, in the month of June. So If we get a chance to go over and see that before you all, we'll make sure to let you know about it. So let's quickly then jump across town over to Disney, where they had their big Star Wars nighttime celebration last weekend, the same weekend as MegaCon, Memorial Day weekend. And Warwick Davis and some of the other Imagineers that are building that were there and revealed a couple of things. First of all, we now know what it's going to be called. The actual outpost is going to be called the Black Spire Outpost at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So that's what, you know, if you've seen the movies, you know, like when you go to Tatooine, how there's like an outpost
right
there. That's what they're going for. And this particular outpost is going to be called the Black Spire Outpost. They were already selling merchandise. Of course they were. Lanyards and pins. So if you want to get that, I guess a full year and a half before anybody else. I don't know if that was an only during that night or if you go there now, if you're still going to be able to find some. My guess is yes. There is going to be new video footage, like they're at Pinewood Studios over in England where they've filmed a lot of the movies, and they're filming new scenes. So as a Star Wars fan, that's exciting, because when you ride Star Tours and they include those new scenes and Star Tours, you're excited. You want to see what new worlds they're going to create. Which characters they use, that is what will be interesting. With some speculating that it's going to be Chewbacca, obviously, because of the new Solo movie.
And you obviously plays such a big role in that.
Right, but will it be Boba Fett? Because now there's rumor that the next movie is going to be a standalone Boba Fett movie.
Right.
So all curious to see which Star Wars characters are going to be included in this new footage that's being filmed.
Well, and you know what? The thing is that with characters like Boba Fett and Chewbacca, for those purposes, you could really put anybody in the costume. You don't have to get the actual actor that was in the movie.
But we did get a chance Memorial Day weekend to have a few minutes with Junis Sotamo, who is the actor that plays Chewbacca now in the movies.
Yeah, he took over the role from the iconic Peter Mayhew when he was no longer able to do it.
And a couple of things. First of all, Junis can do the Wookiee sounds incredibly well.
On
I was
command.
Impressed. Yes. Secondly, yes, he is really tall. He's 7 foot tall.
That's unreal.
Because we took a picture with him and he was even leaning over our shoulders and still a foot taller than us. But what a nice guy, and so excited to be a part of the entire Star Wars franchise.
Well, of course, who wouldn't be thrilled to be part of that?
I'd have done it and they wouldn't have had to pay me. One of the other things that they are rumored to be doing, and again, this won't surprise anybody that loves going for the merchandise. If you've been to Pandora, you know that they have a place called the Banshee Rookery, where you can go and you can buy a little miniature Banshee that you put on your shoulder. Our son was one of the first ones to get this when they came off the assembly line, and we were stopped, I kid you not, 1,000 times walking through Walt Disney World.
In every park, with people saying, where can you get those? And for a long time, they were sold out. It was very difficult to find them.
So the rumor now is once Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens up, they are also going to have a creature market, and you're going to be able to get your own Loathcat, which is in the Star Wars Rebels TV series, or I've even heard that you might be able to do some sort of make your own Porg, which are the little creatures that were in Last Jedi.
I would love to have a little Salacious Crumb or a little Yoda. Can you imagine you have a little Yoda that walks around on your shoulder? That would be awesome.
And the other big rumor that I'm hearing this morning out of Walt Disney World, and we got a lot more over the next couple of weeks to talk about what's coming in summer and fall at all of the theme parks, is once again the rumor mill heating up of what's going to be next after they get Star Wars Galaxy's Edge done. We know they've already started on the Tron cycle at Magic Kingdom. We know they've already started on the roller coaster for Guardians of the Galaxy at Epcot. So what's going to be after that? The rumor mill heating up once again that Dinoland USA at Animal Kingdom will become an Indiana Jones land.
Mm.
And not only will the dinosaur attraction become an Indiana Jones attraction, which, if you've been to Disneyland in California, it's identical. The track and everything is identical to the dinosaur ride, only it's an Indiana Jones ride. So once again, speculating that they're going to turn that into that. And then if you go over where they have some of the other smaller rides at Dinoland USA to take all of that out and build a bigger Indiana Jones themed coaster or ride.
With the way that area looks, you would think that they could do that without having to take away. And I know it's just a rumor right now, but you know, our son was always such a huge dinosaur fan. And they have that one area where you can go dig in the dinosaur sandbox and where you can climb and run around. And I know a lot of parents really love that area for their kids to be able to really kind of have a little bit of a wind down. It would just, I mean, I understand they could just change the theme, but do you think the kids would really get the Indiana Jones theme the way they get the dinosaur theme?
Here's the thing. We're not Imagineers, nor have we ever been asked to give our opinion to an Imagineer, but he's not a paleontologist, but what is Indiana Jones?
He's an archaeologist,
so
obviously.
So wouldn't it be where you could kind of incorporate the two together and still have the dinosaur excavation and everything? Maybe alongside dinosaurs, you're excavating something else.
Okay,
which could go hand in hand with Indiana Jones. So we'll see. Again, that's just the big rumor this week. So we'll have more rumors, more confirmations, more events, more happenings at the theme parks coming up in our next episode. But until then, we certainly do appreciate you downloading and listening to our Theme Parks and Rex podcast. We're your host, Chad and Christy Thomas. Until next time, thanks for listening.